As you travel across the South, you will find countless monuments and relics from the Civil War. One of the most unique monuments is in Double Springs, Alabama. The monument in front of the Winston County Courthouse is called Dual Destiny. It features a statue of a half Union, half Confederate soldier. It's meant to be a visual reminder of the divide that existed within this county during the Civil War. This is the story of the Free State of Winston County. This is Southern Mysteries.
It's gonna be all right. These ain't dark, all the troubled times. It's a day like any other day. You got a dark and troubled mind, all right. You hold that baby tight. And I swear if you can hear me, then everything gonna be just fine, all right. All right.
Welcome to Southern Mysteries, exploring historical mysteries and legendary figures of the American South. I'm your host, Shannon Ballard. Winston County is situated in the northwest part of Alabama. The county, created by the State General Assembly in February of 1850, was originally known as Hancock County in honor of John Hancock of Declaration of Independence fame. By 1858, the county's name would be changed to Winston in honor of the first governor of the state, John Winston. The first permanent settlers in Winston County came from North Carolina in 1814. They would be followed by settlers from Georgia, Tennessee, Pennsylvania, Virginia, Rhode Island, Indiana, and South Carolina in towns they established, including Houston, Double Springs, Addison, and Haleyville. Another significant community in Winston County is Natural Bridge, the home of the longest natural bridge east of the Rockies. Visitors who stop in to see this natural wonder see a sign posted at the entrance to the park that explains the significance of the bridge and the surrounding area. It explains that you're standing in the Free State of Winston County. The Free State of Winston is similar to a story you may have watched come to life on the big screen in 2016, called The Free State of Jones. Similar, but not the same. The movie was based on the life of Newt Knight and his fellow rebels in Jones County, Mississippi, who deserted the Confederate Army and took up arms against the Confederacy. Now, the Free State of Jones movement had many layers, but the major motivation was race and some romance. Alabama's Free State of Winston was born out of a desire on the part of Winston Unionists to remain neutral. They didn't want to take up arms against the country they loved. But in the end, Winston County's desire to remain neutral would lead to complications and violence. Four candidates were on the presidential ballot of 1860. Southern Democrat John Breckinridge, Democrat Stephen Douglas, Constitutional Union candidate John Bell, and Abraham Lincoln, who represented a new party known as the Republicans. On November 6, 1860, Abraham Lincoln, the face of the anti-slavery Republican Party, would be elected to the office. In the months following the election and ahead of Lincoln's inauguration in March of 1861, fears that the institution of slavery would be abolished by Lincoln drove seven states to secede from the Union. South Carolina, Mississippi, and Florida would be the first three states to vote for secession. Alabama would be the fourth, followed by Georgia, Louisiana, and Texas, all uniting as the Confederate States of America. A question that was constantly raised across the nation as these states were holding secession conventions was this: can a state secede from the Union? The United States government deemed secession to be illegitimate, rejected the state's claim of secession. When the Confederates attacked Fort Sumter in Charleston Harbor on April 12th of 1861, the divide was solidified. The Civil War began. Within weeks, Virginia, Arkansas, North Carolina, and Tennessee would secede. Now, if a state could secede from the Union, could a county secede from a state? That's a question that was debated in Alabama in the months following the state's vote to secede from the Union. A majority of Alabamians were in favor of secession. A majority, but not all. Not Winston County. Winston County wanted to remain neutral in the fight and remain loyal to the Union. Many early settlers in Winston County were Unionists. They had fought in the War of 1812 or were linked by family who had fought in the American Revolution. These Unionists found the idea of severing from the Union they and generations before them had shed blood to establish and protect. They found that to be painful and disloyal, an act of treason. Winston Unionists also desired to remain neutral because of slavery. But not in the terms you may imagine when you hear the word slavery in relation to the state of Alabama. It was the lack of slavery in Winston County and northern Alabama that led a majority of residents in this region to desire neutrality. Unlike other parts of the state, Winston County wasn't defined by wealthy planters with big cotton plantations. The terrain was rugged, not ideal for large-scale planting of cotton. There were slaves in Winston County, just not on the scale of central and southern Alabama counties. In 1860, Winston County reported 122 slaves. Plantation-rich Dallas County, Alabama, in what's known as the Black Belt region of the state, reported more than 25,000 slaves in the 1860 census. It's hard to mention those numbers, compare references to ownership of human lives. But this was the reality of life in Alabama until the 1860s. With a majority of Alabama's economy being fueled by cotton and slave labor, there was this disconnect in Winston County. Residents who did not own slaves often viewed talk of secession as something only the rich and the powerful wanted. Those wealthy planters held power in the state. They wielded political influence. Something the citizens of Alabama had in mind. On December 24th, 1860, that's the day Alabamians elected representatives to the state's secession convention. The Winston County candidates were Andrew Kaiser, a planter who was prepared to vote for immediate secession, and Christopher Sheets, a 21-year-old teacher who opposed secession. The vote made the region's position clear. Sheets defeated Kaiser 515 to 128. Sheets joined his fellow delegates at the secession convention in the state capital of Montgomery on January 7th of 1861. By January 11th, an ordinance of secession would be passed by a vote of 61 to 39. Throughout the convention, Sheets passionately voiced his opposition to secession. When the ordinance passed and delegates were asked to sign an oath of loyalty to the Confederacy, Sheets refused to sign it, angering his fellow delegates. Sheets continued to voice opposition to secession, leading to his arrest by Confederate forces. He would be released and allowed to return home, but Sheets would not be free from the shadow of the Confederacy. When Christopher Sheets returned to Winston County, he continued to speak out against secession. If Alabama could secede from the United States of America, he began to ask, can Winston County secede from the state of Alabama? That was the issue discussed during a meeting that took place in Bill Looney's Tavern on July 4th, 1861. Historians estimate between 2,500 to 3,000 people met at Looney's Tavern that day to discuss their plan for the future. Unionists were present from North Alabama along with Unionists from surrounding states of Mississippi, Tennessee, and Georgia. By the end of the Looney's Tavern meeting, three resolutions were discussed and adopted by Winston Unionists. The first commended Christopher Sheets and stood with him for his loyalty and fidelity to the people he represented in voting against secession. The second denied the state could legally secede and cease to be part of the Union, but it qualified support for Alabama's right to secede if there was a legal path to withdraw from the Union, It further affirmed if Alabama could secede from the Union, Winston County could secede from the state. The third resolution made Winston County's neutrality declaration clear, reading in part, "We are not going to shoot at the flag of our fathers, the flag of Washington, Jefferson, and Jackson. Therefore, we ask the Confederacy on one hand and the Union on the other to leave us alone that we may work out our political and financial destiny here in the hills and mountains of Northwest Alabama." To be clear, the second resolution passed in Looney's Tavern did affirm Winston County's right to secede from the state, but there was never a declaration of secession from Alabama. The county became known as the Free State of Winston because of a Confederate sympathizer who was in the tavern that day. He responded to the resolutions, making an offhanded comment about Winston seceding and becoming the Free State of Winston. That sarcastic comment gave a serious Unionist stand a name. Winston County declared neutrality. Political and military leaders in Alabama did not accept. The state's position was that Winston County was still under their control, and the Confederacy declared Winston County's declaration to be treason. Refusing to accept Winston's neutrality created even more passionate and determined Unionists in Winston. They responded by forming home guard companies to prepare to defend the county against any threat from the Confederacy. Winston County was now in a unique position. Unionists, along with some supporters of the Confederacy, resided in the region, which put the county at odds with the state and some residents of the county at odds with each other. But Confederate supporters were in the minority in the region. 515 men stood with the Union, while 128 men stood with the Confederacy. 70 of those Confederate supporters volunteered, enlisted in the Army. The remaining supporters of the Confederacy organized in Winston County in November of 1861, asking the Alabama governor to require every able-bodied man of age to take a loyalty oath, vowing support of the Confederacy. They further demanded the governor force the county to provide 250 soldiers for the Confederate Army. The governor heard their demands and issued orders for anyone disloyal to the Confederacy in Winston County to be arrested. This caused the situation in Winston to intensify. By 1862, the Confederacy enacted conscription, the draft requiring any unmarried man 18 years of age and older to serve in the Army. Conscription agents would be sent out to enforce the draft. Men refusing to join the Army would be taken into custody, often shot and killed. Winston Unionists wanted to be left alone, wanted to remain neutral, but conscription meant many Unionists would be forced to flee their homes. They vowed never to support the Confederacy and refused to be taken into custody. They knew it would mean supporting a cause they didn't believe in and dying. This left Christopher Sheets and his fellow Unionists who were eligible for conscription very few options. They had to flee Winston County. Some were able to connect with Union forces near the Tennessee River Valley, and they had Bill Looney, the owner of Looney's Tavern, to thank for that. Looney was known throughout the region as the Old Black Fox, a nickname given to him by the rebels because of his uncanny ability to elude capture. Looney assisted hundreds of Unionists from Winston County and helped them join the fight for the Union. Not all Unionists who fled were able to evade conscription agents. They used their knowledge of the region to their advantage, hiding out in the dense forest and canyons. Many sought refuge around the Natural Bridge, which became a significant gathering point for Unionists. Christopher Sheets was among those who hid out until July of 1862. Union Colonel Abel Strait encountered Sheets while he was recruiting forces in the mountains of northern Alabama. Sheets identified himself and declared he would be joining the Union Army, but he never got the chance. Within days, Confederates caught up to Sheets and arrested him. He would remain in custody for months. When he was released, his freedom didn't last long. He would be arrested again in the summer of 1863 after he declared that Alabama needed to surrender and make peace with the Union. Christopher Sheets would remain in prison until the Confederacy surrendered in 1865. Unionists who were forced to flee their Winston County homes left behind more than worried families and friends. They were in a precarious situation, fighting for what they believed in, fighting to protect themselves and those they loved. But they left behind farms that weren't being worked. As time passed, the food supply in the region was reduced. Confederate forces moved through Winston County, enforcing conscription and seizing livestock and food from families. People were hungry and desperate. The Confederacy was desperate as well, desperate for soldiers. Both the Union and Confederate armies had underestimated the number of soldiers needed for the fight when the war began. No one expected the war to last as long as it did. By the summer of 1862, the Confederacy faced a shortage of troops as enlisted soldiers who had joined when the war began fulfilled their service, returned to their families, some deserting the army altogether. The pressure was on to bring more troops into the battle, and with this pressure came desperation and extreme action on the part of the conscription agents who were looking to fulfill their orders. This desperation led to things getting out of control in the Unionist stronghold of Winston County. Historian and Winston Countyan Peter Gossett notes that the body count and violence began with Newt Austin, who was killed for his Union sympathies, along with a Mr. Pugh. When Confederate agents went to the home of a Unionist named Joe Comins, he wasn't there, but his pregnant wife was. She argued with them, and the argument became so heated, she became ill that day, and hours later would lose her baby. The Winston County Home Guard fought back. They drove Confederates out of the county, but not before the conscription agents warned them that they would be back. On May 24th, 1862, Winston Unionists held a meeting to discuss what had happened and how they could proceed. They knew they would face more attacks when agents returned, and they knew they needed a plan to prevent more murder. Prominent leaders were present, including probate judge Tom Pink Curtis and Judge John Penn, who delivered a speech that day noting that dark and bloody days had been forced upon them by secessionists who would destroy the Union. The judge again expressed the county's desire to remain neutral, but made next steps clear, saying, "If the Confederacy continues to treat our county as a part of it and attempts to force our citizens to serve in the army, neutrality will cease in Winston. The people in Winston County, rather than be forced to fight for the perpetuation of slavery in the Confederate Army, will abandon neutrality, join the Union Army, and fight for the Union." This meant even the men of Winston County who were not eligible for conscription were making a commitment that if necessary, they would abandon their neutrality, pick a side, take up arms for the Union. A committee prepared resolutions to make recommendations clear, saying that the principles adopted at Looney's Tavern would continue if outsiders left them alone and respected their desire to remain neutral. But if Confederate agents continued to raid Winston County, it would be up to the citizens to take whatever action they felt necessary to protect themselves and the safety and security of their loved ones and property. Another important declaration that was made by the committee that day were directions on how citizens should proceed should Confederate agents force them into service against their convictions. If they were captured and forced to serve, the committee agreed that the citizens should desert, come home, and if conscience dictated, join the Union Army. They also declared if Confederate agents killed any other Winston County citizens in attempting to enforce conscription, the agent who perpetuated the crime would be punished in the same way and to the same extent. As the war continued, Winston's home guard would be forced to fight time and time again as Confederate agents led raids on the county to try to seize men they now viewed as deserters of the Confederacy. The violence and frustration would escalate with each raid. Some of the Confederates who returned to raid the county had called Winston County home before the war, which meant some neighbors carried out attacks on former neighbors and friends. One of the most prominent attacks on Winston County led to the murder of probate judge Tom Pink Curtis. On January 19, 1864, a group of Confederates rode into the county to raid Curtis's home. The judge had been entrusted with salt, a treasured commodity that was rationed during the war. He would distribute the salt to the poor. But the Confederates who arrived at Curtis's home realized they could get something more than salt from the judge. They could get money, and hopefully a lot of it. They kidnapped Curtis, told him they would set him free if he paid a ransom of $2,000. They explained if he didn't pay, he would die. The judge knew the men were serious. He asked to return to his home to get the money the men wanted. When the men entered Curtis's home that day, they found his wife and children were inside. The men found Curtis's money, and when they went for it, the judge became enraged. He was angry that he had been taken, angry at everything that was happening, and he expressed that anger, which would cost him his life. The Confederates once again took Judge Curtis from his home. The next morning, friends of the judge would find him not far from his home. His head was leaning against a tree. He had been shot twice in the head. Winston residents wondered if peace would ever return. When would the killing stop? The whole country asked that question as the war continued. But Winston County felt that it had been fighting a war within a war. In the last year of the war, they faced more Confederate raids, but Union soldiers also carried out raids in the county as they worked to free Unionist conscripts. The Civil War officially ended in April of 1865, but the war in Winston County would continue as men who had fought for the Confederacy returned home to an even stronger Union stronghold in Winston. They all had to figure out a new normal, and it would take a long time for trust and order to be restored in Winston County. The South lost the war, and Southern states faced the challenge of Reconstruction and the question of how to reunite with a country that had been torn apart. A key figure in Alabama's readmission to the Union would be the politician who had been pursued by Confederate forces in Alabama after he was labeled a traitor, Christopher Sheets. Following the war, Sheets joined the Republican Party and became one of only a few men who were present at the Secession Convention of 1861 and the Convention of Restoration to the Union in 1865. His vote was consistent: allegiance and loyalty to the United States of America. Sheets would be appointed as U.S. Consul to Denmark in 1869, but returned to politics in Alabama in the 1870s. In 1873, he was elected to the 43rd Congress. Sheets' life after the Civil War, it wasn't glamorous or extraordinary, but it was full. It was a life he never expected to have when he was hiding out from Confederate forces in Northwest Alabama during the Civil War. In 1987, a musical drama about events in Winston County was performed by the organizers of the county's Free State Festival Committee, celebrating the history of the Free State of Winston. The drama, called Incident at Looney's Tavern, was an unexpected hit. The show that was intended to be performed once became so popular that the production continued, and by 1993, it was named Alabama's official outdoor musical drama. But as time passed, the production was discontinued, until a few years ago, in April of 2016 when it was temporarily revived. The organizers hope for more shows in the future. They know how important it is to tell the story of the Free State of Winston, the real story behind the Dual Destiny Monument in front of the Winston County Courthouse. It may be a strange and unexpected story, but that's just how we like them here in the South. Southern Mysteries is hosted and produced by me, Shannon Ballard. You can read more about the Free State of Winston and other movements to secede from secession in Arkansas, Tennessee, and Mississippi in the show notes at southernmysteries.com. It is so hard to believe, but this week marks the second anniversary of Southern Mysteries. To be honest with you, there have been times in the past 2 years when my full-time job and obligations apart from this podcast have made me question if I should keep doing this, could keep doing it. I love it, and I love sharing stories with you, but it's a lot of work, and it takes a lot of time. It's also meant investing my own money for production and hosting the show. But the more I hear from you, the more I'm inspired and motivated to keep going, which is why I will do this for as long as you are willing to listen. If you are willing and able to support the show with a one-time tip of some kind or a monthly gift of any amount, you can do that. I sure would appreciate it. You can visit the support tab at southernmysteries.com to make a gift, and you can also buy Southern Mysteries merchandise in the shop while you're there. I appreciate any gift you can make. So with that, happy anniversary, and thanks so much for listening to Southern Mysteries.